Jesus taught his disciples about what it was like under God's ruling, he used many pictures. He pictured his listeners as a house built on a rock or a house built on sand. He told of a foolish rich man who thought that winning wealth was the only thing. He described a man who was attacked by thieves on his way to Jericho and who was rescued by a good Samaritan. He spoke of a shepherd searching for a lost sheep. He pictured a lost son. But in Hebrews 12, our life as Christians is pictured as running a race. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. The great cloud of witnesses, of course, includes Abraham, about whom we heard yesterday. His faith was in the promised Savior, and all the other believers in the Bible also trusted in Jesus for their standing with God. So although at times we may feel very much alone, we never really are. And on the last day, we will stand with all believers of all times and hear our Savior say, "Come, blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." For now, in view of that cloud of witnesses, we are urged to run the race marked out before us. That may seem obvious, but you know what? There are a lot of people who would like to run someone else's race. Even Peter and John, who ran to the tomb together on Easter morning, at least until John pulled away, even they were tempted to think that way. A few weeks later, when Jesus told Peter about how he would die, Peter turned and saw John and said, "What about him?" Many people think, if only I could run someone else's race, live someone else's life, if only I could run a rich person's race, then I would really glorify Jesus' name. If only I could win every race, then I would glorify Jesus' name. Or they might think, if only I could be in charge, then I would do great things for the kingdom of God. Or some might think, if only I could be a student again, then I would glorify God. If only I were bigger, or stronger, or healthier, or didn't have this arthritis, or if only I could get around a little better, then I could really serve the Savior. But the Bible says that even a poor little slave girl in a country far away from home could still serve Jesus. You don't have to have earthly power to serve and glorify your heavenly King. The real serving has already been done. Jesus came to serve us and to give his life a ransom for all of us, that we might be his own. It's his power that enables us to glorify his name as we run the race set before us. We also notice that Hebrews urges us to run the race marked out before us. It would be silly, of course, for four people to line up for a race and one of them to turn around and run it backwards. And yet many people spend their lives looking back. The older you get, the more there is to look back to, trying to make up for past sins, feeling guilty about how they have stumbled, but stumbling again because they do not see where they are going. And then they feel even guiltier and look even harder at their past. If Peter had spent his whole life trying to make up for the night that he denied knowing Jesus in the high priest's courtyard, well, he never could have been sure that he really had an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled reserved in heaven for him. But he knew that the past had been paid for by Jesus' blood, and his sins, like everyone else's, were forgiven because Jesus died and rose again. Peter had peace with God, and so do we. We don't have to worry about our past catching up on us, because when God's children look back, they see goodness and mercy following them all the days of their life. Instead of looking back all the time, the Bible tells us we have something to look forward to. The race is ahead of us and urges us to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter where we look, looking to Jesus, we see one who was crucified in our place. Looking to Jesus, we see one who was raised again to glory, ready to welcome us. Looking to Jesus, we see one who is with us now and always, even to the end of the world, no matter where the race set in front of us may lead. Of all the blessings we can think of in our lives, the greatest is that Jesus made us the objects of God's favor by his perfect life in our name and his perfect death on the cross for all our sins. Along with all this comes his promise to be with us always. The reason you can close your eyes tonight and sleep peacefully is that he will keep his eyes open. He who keeps us will neither slumber nor sleep. What a blessing to be in his kingdom now and forever. Amen. Hymn 784. 784.